Good morning and happy Father's Day. It is June 21st and Father's Day. And so I am hoping all of you fathers out there are just having a good day, and that and I know many of us have been quarantined and been with our family more than we have in years, maybe ever. But it's always good to be together on Father's Day and holidays like that. So if you're a dad, congratulations. And if you're a son, pay attention to your dad today. Definitely. Okay. So this morning, I want to share from Acts. We have been talking about Acts. I'm going to skip a little bit and a little bit forward, but we're going to read from Acts chapter 4, just going to skip a little bit of a story right there. We are going to come back to that in the future. So let's go to the sermon today, which is called I Can't Hold It In. And I want to tell you that this actually comes from the phrase in Jeremiah chapter 20, when he says, I am weary from holding it in. And what he's talking about is the Lord was telling him to preach some things, to speak some things that were uncomfortable, that the people did not want to hear. And he said, I'm not going to do it, Lord. And then he said, I can't help it. I can't hold it in. I am weary from holding it in. I have to speak. And so that is where the title actually is coming from. And I want to follow up with our anchor verse from Acts. We cannot, this is Peter and John, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. So I'm just going to jump in here in a minute. We're going to pray and ask the Lord for his presence and to give us boldness to speak his word. And we are talking about speaking his word, and I'm going to speak a little bit also about things in our world today, but let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, come and give me boldness today to speak your word with courage, and Lord, for all of us to speak your word, Lord, and to experience more of you. Come, Lord, on this Father's Day, I pray for all the fathers, all the sons, all the daughters, that they would be honoring their fathers today. Lord, to have a blessed day today, to have a good day. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And also, I want to encourage you, we're going to be getting together soon. We don't know what those details are yet, but I want to assure you that your leadership and elders are working on this, on bringing us back together very soon. So you be in prayer about that, okay? All right, let's go back to the word. This is from Acts chapter 4, and I will say that what has happened is that Peter and John had a miracle. They did a miracle. Well, the Lord did it through them for a man, and they were speaking with boldness, and the council, specifically the Sadducees, kind of caught them. And so they are seeing what Peter and John are doing. Let's read from Acts chapter 4, verse 13 and following. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Let me just stop there and say, I've talked about this in some past sermons recently, and that is that Peter and John are speaking boldly. Now, you remember that before the day of Pentecost, Peter was afraid. I mean, he was saying, no, I don't know who this Jesus is, running and hiding because the council, the people in authority, the law, if you will, at that time, was looking to crucify Jesus, and Peter didn't want to wind up in jail or worse, crucified himself. So that is what's going on there. Let's continue. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, that's Peter and John, they had nothing to say in opposition. Yep, because the crowd, it would be unpopular. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, excuse me, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." Let's continue. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Okay, so here's what's going on. Peter and John are proclaiming Jesus. They heal this man, and we are going to go back and talk about that in a couple of weeks. But I want to move to this topic today, and that is that they were speaking boldly, even though the council, the law, at that time was telling them not to. Now, I don't know how many of you have experienced this. When I first became a Christian, I was working as a salesman for a photographic company selling darkroom equipment. It's one of the things that I did a long time ago when darkrooms were popular, and I had a good clientele at this photography sales place. And I became a Christian, and I was so excited that I just had to keep sharing. I mean, I started sharing with all my regulars, all my clientele. I started sharing. We would sit there at the counter and talk about Jesus. Well, that didn't go over so well with my boss. And he came and he talked to me. And he said I couldn't do that anymore. And I was like, I get that. But the truth is that I couldn't help it. And I kept talking. And I lost that job. So that was my zeal of speaking boldly. It was because I had not been a Christian and didn't know, almost knew nothing about true Christianity. And of course, I grew up in American culture, which has a lot of Christian culture in it. But I didn't know a lot. And when I found out what Jesus had done for me, I was just so excited. It just spilled out. And I think that's what's going on with Peter and John. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, I told you they were empowered. And now they're empowered, and they're healing, and they're speaking, and they're just proclaiming boldly. And here the law comes along and says, "You can't do that." And he says, "You judge which is right, for me to obey you or to obey God." And that is a powerful statement. Well, let's continue and see what happens next. All right, so instead, Peter and John, they get excited. We're going to skip a few verses down to verse 29. They get excited. They tell all their disciples what had happened, and they're so excited. And what do? Well, they pray for more boldness. Well, let's just get bolder. And here's Peter. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So they pray, and God comes and fills them again. Now you remember they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 with this mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in other languages. And now they're speaking boldly, and miracles are being done, and they ask for more boldness, even though the law is telling them not to. Man's law, telling them not to speak. And yet they pray for more boldness and they're filled again. Refilled, some would say. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just pouring out. Now, there are countries in this world today where it is still illegal to preach the name of Jesus, to proselytize. I have friends that are missionaries who are in some of these countries, and they're risking their lives. And China is one. China has some freedoms and doesn't, and depends on the area that you're in as well. So Rhonda and I used to actually, we were involved in this ministry where you give this ministry like $5 and they give you like 4 Bibles and 4 addresses. And the Bibles are in Chinese. And the addresses are to the Chinese residents. See, because you can mail them mail, they get mail. So you would send them a Bible and the authorities wouldn't know. Now, was that against the law? Yes, it was against the law. But one at a time, you send the Bible one at a time. And we would pray over those Bibles and we would bless them and send them and pay for the postage to get those Bibles to the people in China. So that was something I did unlawfully. I also helped a friend who smuggled Bibles into Iraq. Miraculous things happened. Just phenomenal. How he got past the guards with 300 Bibles. What had happened was he was alone bringing the Bibles in a suitcase, and he was just praying, Lord, you're going to have to make me invisible because I'm standing here and they're searching every single suitcase. He didn't know that would happen. And as he gets in line, they open his suitcase and a fight broke out in the line next to him. And so everybody was distracted and the man just said, oh, just go, just go. And he was able to walk right through, invisible. Talk about the Holy Spirit moving. I mean, he was about to get arrested because that's illegal. Now, I will say he did it many times, and eventually he did wind up going to jail in Iraq. And he was there for several months, and they kicked him out of the country, and they won't allow him back. So, he didn't lose his life or anything like that, but it was a very scary time. I will tell you that his wife is Iraqi, and that he was forced to leave the country, and his wife was not allowed to. And it's been... oh gosh, it's been 15 years now, and it's very sad. It's a sad story. He is still a very close friend of mine, and we don't speak his name because we never know how it gets out. But this is a true story, and is a very close friend of mine that I knew from college days, actually. Well, let's go on and talk about God and boldness and Peter. So they pray for more boldness, and what happens next? Well, many signs and wonders are regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick, those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. So what happened is that this group of Sadducees and other members of the council, they arrest, again, the apostles, Peter included. And they arrest them because they're continuing to preach. And I didn't put it all in PowerPoint, but I will just highlight it. This is out of 5 chapter 5, verse 17 and following. And the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles, put them in prison. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and told them to go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So let me tell you a little bit about the Sadducees. The Sadducees are a political group that are also culturally Jewish. They didn't believe in a resurrection at all. And they are a major ruling class, but more political than Jewish, really. So whatever helped them politically was more important than following their Jewishness in actuality. So they were culturally Jewish, but not Jewish in heart, in reality. And you see this in our country and in people who claim Christianity because they're looking for votes. You know, from Christians, and that's Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. And are they really? Sometimes it's hard to tell by what they do. Okay. So anyway, and just to clear that up, there are three major, groups of Jews. There are several more, but the Pharisees, the Sadducees were politically tied, and the Essenes. And the Essenes, they are not mentioned specifically, but they are a group that a studied, very studied group of strict Jews during that time. Okay, so the Lord lets them out of jail. So they disobeyed the law, but the Lord let them out. And as we go on, somebody points out and says, hey, there they are. They're speaking in the temple. And so they get arrested again. They get brought before the council. And what happens next? When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Powerful sentence. We must obey God rather than men. I'm bringing this sermon out right now because of the world in which we live. And, you know, sometimes you hear things you have to obey the law. And of course we do. As Christians, we should. But when the law stands in the way of Christ or doing things for Christ, then it's time to obey God more than men. Because the law is not inspired scripture. We pray that God leads our governments. But like I said before, in China, it's illegal, and you know, to proselytize, to share Christ. So there are times when we have to stand up, and that sometimes looks like we are disobeying the law. And this is certainly a time when the law wants to stand in the way and say, you know, you can't speak, you can't share Jesus. It's time to stand up and say, no, that's an unjust government then. Other times to stand up are when we stand up for the oppressed. You know, I've talked about this many times, that Jesus said that his mission, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him because it anointed him to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Now that is speaking with more than words. And our actions must speak louder. They often speak louder than our words do. So we have to be careful. So the question becomes, when and how does a Christian engage in the world. What do we look like in the world? There are different perspectives, and different churches take different views, different denominations. The Anabaptists, for example, believe in distancing themselves because it's not the kingdom of God, so they don't vote. Strict Anabaptists, they don't vote. Mennonites, you'll see, are in that Anabaptist. They don't vote. They don't participate in politics at all. And they're also pacifists when it comes to the war. So they take a stand in the distance. Then there are some Christians that are not Anabaptists, but they approach Scripture and the world like, well, this world's going to pass away someday, so I don't care. My life is by and by in the future. But the kingdom of God is now, and we are in the kingdom of God now, and the kingdom of God is within us. So we need to share that with the world. Now, in no regards do I expect the government to be a Christian government. That frankly, it kind of scares me a little bit because, you know, Christians are so divided already. But we're called a pluralistic government, which a pluralistic government means we receive people of all faiths. We don't discriminate against people of any faith. And we should stand up for people's faith. Even if it doesn't agree with ours, we're not standing up for what they believe, but we stand up for their right to believe it. Does that make sense? Because we don't want to see people oppressed. That doesn't lead to God. That doesn't lead to Jesus, oppressing people, keeping people down. Racism, as I've talked about in the last couple of weeks, because it is such an issue right now. That is an oppressing system. Martin Luther King marched. He was a religious man. He was a Baptist. And he marched to relieve that oppression and believed that that was a Christian mission. Now, you may disagree with that, and that's okay if you do. But we need to understand that perspective, to stand up for people who are oppressed. And racism is oppressive, and it is people of power taking advantage over people that are disenfranchised and don't have power. And we can't stand with the people that are oppressing people. If you have an opinion that isn't going on, that's okay. Don't tie your Christianity to oppression, is what I'm saying. Okay? And there are times to stand up. James talked about prayer. When you pray for somebody and you pray and oh, bless them, be well fed, be warm and well fed, and then let them go, and you had the power to do something for them but didn't, that's a dead faith. Your actions are speaking in this world. So it is very difficult, and I'm not going to go into a whole political theme here at all, but what I'm trying to say is that your actions speak as well. So let me just cover this a little bit. And our actions must obey God more than men. But as a Christian, is it right to be politically involved? And how do we as Christians engage in the world? This is a difficult question. And I will say this: do not tie your Christianity to a political party. Vote the way you want to vote. There are good things in both parties. There are godly things in both parties. And there are things that are oppressive in both parties, just quite honestly. And you can't tie Jesus to a party, though, because in doing that, let's say I say that if you're a Christian, you must vote Republican. Well, I've closed the door to Democrats. And that's not true. There are Christian ideas in the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party. So, like I said, I don't want to go into politics. It is a year that we are voting, and emotions are running so high. And your message must stay about Christ. Paul said, "When in Rome, I became as a Roman." So when your friends are talking about politics, feel free to listen, even participate, especially about policy, about rescue of people, about equality, things against oppression. But be very careful in your Christianity not to tie it to a political party, because doing so closes the door to others. It makes people think that in order to be a Christian, I must be a Republican or I must be a Democrat because your opinions are strong. What is the loudest message you are preaching? Let's preach that boldly. It is about citizenship in the kingdom of God. Amen. It is about healing. It's about forgiveness. It's about rescue from the kingdom of this world and of Satan. We are in this world, but we are not of it. Amen. Let's go on. Is it right to speak in any way? To engage? Yes. This is from the parable of Luke. As they heard these things, Jesus was talking, and Jesus spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because the people that were listening at that time thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Now, I'm going to turn over to Luke real quickly. He says, occupy until I come. Now, this parable comes right before his triumphal entry. Let's see. And this is the one about the 10 minus, where he gave 10 to a certain person, 5 to a certain person, and they came back, and what did they do with it? Now, I'm not going to go into that parable. What I'm telling you here is, though, when Jesus left, when the certain nobleman from the parable left, he left people in charge, and he said to them, occupy until I come. We are to be good stewards of our world. We are to occupy it, and we are to be good stewards of the people in it, each and every one. We are not only Christians for those people who agree with us. The hardest time is when they don't, right? And we still must pray for them and bless them. Remember what Jesus said. What is the mission of the kingdom? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To bless people. Jesus has come to bless us, to forgive us, to heal us. What a wonderful thing. That's what this mission is. And remember, sometimes our actions speak louder than our words. What are the actions that you are involved in? Are they overriding the message of Jesus and his love and his acceptance and his mercy and his grace? That's what we have to ask ourselves. In this politically charged atmosphere, are we seeking to rescue? Are we seeking to heal? Dear God, let's get rid of this racism in this country. And there's no room for police brutality. Now, I know lots of police, and I love them. And there are many, many, many more good people that are police officers than bad. But there are some that bad characteristics come out. That needs to stop. They need better training. No place for racism. No place for political hatred. No place for that in our world. Our message is about Jesus and his love and rescue, and that must be proclaimed with boldness in everything we do and everything we say. That's what's got to be our message. That's what I'm leaving you with today. I'm challenging you to keep down the anger and to seek to heal. Remember, you are an ambassador of Christ. That's what Paul said. You're an ambassador. You're a leading figure of Christ. That's powerful stuff. And why? To reconcile people to him. That's what we're to do. And I'm challenging you to be that. To be that person in the image of God. Let's boldly proclaim his love for everyone. Amen. Happy Father's Day again. And let's pray and ask for that boldness in everything we do as well as what we say. Father, in the name of Jesus, let our faith not be dead. Let's walk it out in everything we are. When people see us, let them see you, Lord. Let them see love. Let us be bold in it. And let us obey you rather than men in everything we do. We thank you, Lord. Let's be kingdom citizens. Strengthen us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.